seated, please. Court is ready to hear argument now in 080524 in Re Department of Family and Protective Services.
May it please the court, Ms. Haysham will present argument for the relator. Relator has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
This case concerns the effect of a new trial order on the timeliness of a final order under Section 263-401 of the Family Code. The appellate court below held that the trial court's decision to grant the parents a new trial after rendering a timely final order.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Could we get someone to close the door? And thank you.
Go ahead, counsel.
The appellate court below held that the trial court's decision to grant the parent a new trial after rendering a timely final order before the dismissal deadline resulted in nullifying the effect of the court's timely rendered final order. And without a timely final order, the court
You're
had
going
no
to have to speak up, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's, if we can have the marshal go outside and get security to quiet everyone down, please. And if in the meantime, if you can... I think we're good. Go ahead, counsel. Sorry about that.
Okay. all right, I'll try one more time.
take your time. Yeah. We're starting over.
Okay. The appellate court below held that the trial court's decision to grant the parent a new trial after the trial court had rendered a timely final order under Section 263-401 resulted in nullifying the effect of the court's timely final order, and without a timely final order, mandated the trial court to dismiss the case under Section 263-401. In my time before the court, I'd like to explain why this holding is wrong. There's three primary reasons. One, it misconstrues the effect of a new trial order to void a timely rendered final order. When this court clarified in Baylor Medical Center at Garland that a new trial does not void the prior final order. Second, the appellate court's construction of Section 263-401 does not comport with the rules of code construction under the Code Construction Act. Third, it violates the benefit of the judgment doctrine to permit a parent to treat a new trial order that they requested as both right and wrong. Going back to my first reason.
Let me interrupt you there. Do you agree with the dissent in the Court of Appeals?
No.
Because the argument there was the mother should have moved before the deadline, right?
Yes. Well, basically, the dissent, dissent's position is that the deadline is a jurisdictional deadline, and that if you wanted to get a new trial, it would have to be before the 1 year ran up. Yes, and I don't think that that's a correct construction because I don't think that this scheme is jurisdictional. First of all, it seems to me what the legislature truly intended was to invoke a DWOP docket. Because if you're familiar with what was going on before this act was enacted, there was a concern that there was a lot of children in foster care, but the most of them were in foster care because the department wasn't going forward on its termination proceedings. It was just would pick up the child and then, you know, keep the child in care and wouldn't go forward on its pleadings. So the legislature wanted to have some type of mechanism to force the department to do something. So it began this scheme. So I don't think its intent was that. Plus, if that was its intent, that would really be a bad thing for children because it would mean that as a jurisdictional bar, it could be brought up at any time, even when the child is adopted. I don't think the legislature would have envisioned such a scheme to have been created that would cause such havoc in children's lives.
You, I'm sure, agree with the legislature's intent in passing the statutes expediting, encouraging expedition of these procedures that affect the situations of children. And our court has said that that's important, and we need to get final resolution as quickly as we can within reason, considering the rights of the parents as well as the best interests of the children. This statute at issue says that you've got to get a final resolution done fairly quickly. You've got to get a trial within a year. You can add 6 months to it if certain findings are made. Would allowing, what would you say to the argument that allowing a motion for new trial to be granted resets that whole time period again and may end up doubling the statutory required period, deadline period, rather than expediting a resolution for the child?
Well, the legislature obviously intended there to be new trials considered because, you know, the legislature understands.
Motions for new trial are mentioned, and it's
right in 263.405.
Can be used in this situation too.
Right. Noted in the statute. And yes, it does. It could conceivably, just as appeals can. I mean, I do appeals in these type cases. This is the primary type case I do. All of my appeals are accelerated. That's why I'm on medication now.
Thankfully, you didn't say it's because you're coming to see us.
No. But, you know, because they're accelerated, that they're supposed to go fast. But as we all know, even in the appeal process, the legislature hasn't closed up all those gaps. But it understands two things. See, we have children in the system, and we need it to go fast. And so they wanted to force the department's hands to go forward. But it didn't want to create a system where the judicial body can't do its job, because these decisions still need to be right. So if you take away from the trial judge the ability to grant a new trial that may avoid problems on appeal, then that's a problem, too. And
all
then
right,
if you take
so if, the, if you're right that the trial judge rendered an order, mm-hmm. so he met the deadline.
Correct.
Then he granted a new trial. Now what? Now how long does he have to try the case?
Well, the legislature hasn't addressed that. Just like in
just have an extra 180 days.
Well, the legislature hasn't addressed that. Just like it hasn't in appeals, it says right now that in appeals they're supposed to be decided with the least possible delay. But I've had appeals that have been delayed for 4 years.
Well, he says the court, it looks to me like it's pretty clear under B, the court may not retain the suit on the court's docket after the deadline unless the court finds thus and so.
Well, after the final order is rendered. In this case, the final order is defined under subpart D, and that final order is adjudication as to what happened in this case, which was termination of her parental rights and appointment of the department as conservator. So the final order was rendered, and it was within that 180 days. It was actually before that 180 days. It was within a year. So we had a final order. So subpart B is referring to the time frame of A, which is the final order, which we got in this case.
So subpart B is referring to the time described by subsection A. Isn't that the first Monday after the first anniversary of the date?
Right.
Which the temporary order
subpart B is an extension if you didn't meet A. You can have an extension under B if you want to go beyond the one-year deadline. In this case, we met the one-year deadline.
Right.
Correct.
But then it says, then B adds to that. It says, but in any event, you can't keep it for more than 180 days unless you find thus and so.
But it's referring to an extension order. Its clear intent is to provide for an extension order that you can have for 180 days.
It looks to me like a motion, an order granting a new trial is an extension order.
Well, I don't agree because, first of all, if this court's opinion in Baylor is correct and you can ungrant a new trial order, then that means that if you put the trial judge in this position, he could ungrant it today. And then we would have that final order that was within 1 year. So I don't think that that's what this court would want to do, because it'll force the judge to do that, because the judge did find that this mother had committed indecency with the child, had not complied with the court order, and had endangered the child when the court signed its termination order. I don't think the judge is going to let any court let this child be put in jeopardy. So if this court makes that decision, that's what's going to occur.
I don't understand that. And it looks to me like B says if you don't do what you should have done in A, you got 180 days, or even if you did, you've got another 180 days to fix it. And
Well, I don't agree with the interpretation.
But the mother has to object.
I'm sorry?
The mother didn't object. She didn't ask for a judgment to be rendered within the 180 days, right?
No.
So she's waived that.
Correct. Correct. But in addition to that, if it was true that you had to have the new trial within 180 days, then what about all these appellate courts that are remanding for a new trial? They're ordering the trial court to have a new trial. So if you're, what you're saying is true, in any event, you can only have a new trial within 180 days of that prior, that would make no sense.
No, I'm just saying that the trial court can't keep the case longer than 18 months.
Well, the trial court obviously does get to keep these cases more than 18 months because I've had a lot of appeals where it got remanded and they kept it a lot longer because of the remand.
Well, somebody needs to do something about that.
Well, I would agree that there is a lot of gaps in the system, but certainly the child shouldn't suffer as a result of that, of an interpretation that's going to put it in jeopardy.
But the whole point of the statute was for the legislature telling the courts, we think the child is suffering more from y'all dilly-dallying than it is from whether you make the right or wrong decision. That may be right or that may be wrong, but that's when they put an absolute deadline in there, that's why they did it.
Yeah. Well, I do
recognize that. And
I think we all recognize there's a problem in delay in children's lives. And, of course, the suggestion in this by my opposition that all we need to do here is just let the department refile is going to cause even more delay. Because if we were to refile, we have to have a service plan within 45 days. We have to have another review within 60 days. We have to go through all the procedures again. I don't think that that would have been what the legislature ever intended this scheme to create. This scheme was created to let there be a quick and just resolution for the child. And it was never intended to be created so that a child that's truly in jeopardy is not going to get the merits of its case met because a parent takes advantage of the rules and files a motion for a new trial, waits more than 75 days, and then says, oh, dismiss the case.
But all of that could have been taken care of here. The only problem was nobody said anything when the trial judge set the case, granted a new trial. We could still do all of that. But the trial set the trial for a year off.
Right. Well, when
why didn't somebody say, let's do that a little faster?
When we first met in December, they weren't ready to go forward, so we didn't go forward then. It was reset till April, and then before the April deadline is when he filed the motion to dismiss, and at that time the parents' attorney also filed a request that the trial be reset to June, which, of course, now we haven't even had it. Now, so
well, let me be kind of the advocate for the hypothetical parents association in Texas, and they go and testify before the legislature, and they say, "Look, DFPS is taking away way too many kids when there's really no endangerment to the kid. The parents have done nothing wrong. Maybe they're not perfect parents, but it's more based on economics or some other irrelevant factor." And we need to do something about it because these kids are away from their homes for entirely too long, and we need to encourage or demand or compel DFPS to resolve these matters on an expedited basis. And this is the testimony the legislature is hearing, and they're saying this is more the problem than because they know what to do when there's real abuse in the home. They take them out, and those cases are fine. So can you write a statute that encourages that sort of expedited behavior on the part, and really with a penalty if they don't meet those deadlines? Can't we kind of look at this statute that way and say what the Court of Appeals held here was absolutely correct?
I don't think so, especially when in this case the judgment was entered shows that there was an indecency with the child conviction.
But I'm talking about, you know, we're writing not just on this case, but on we're trying to interpret this for all cases and trying to understand what the legislature meant. Was this just, like you say, a DWAP type situation? It seems like it's more, it's got more meat to it than that. So if there's a policy decision that the legislature made that DFPS is overplaying its hand, mm-hmm. Should we take that into account in interpreting this statute?
Well, certainly the department did not overplay its hand here in having the trial within 1 year.
I'm not talking about this case. I'm talking about in general terms. You know, you were just saying we've got to protect the children. I understand that. Mm-hmm. And I think the court always has that in mind. We've got a permanent commission, and that's part of its mandate. But what I'm asking is, if there was a legislative determination that the children are they're being harmed because they're being taken out of loving homes, when there is no real evidence of any kind of endangerment. And so we're going to write a statute that makes them get through this process quicker than they've been doing.
Okay. Well, you're really talking about two issues. One, a child that's being taken out of home where there is no basis, which, as this court knows, that mandamus is available to challenge any decision. The second is that it's taking too long, and those are really two separate issues. The reason it's taking too long is not always because...
Well, part of the statute says, the part of the purpose is reuniting children with their families if that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that it's an endangering situation, maybe not physical endangerment, but mm-hmm. It's better for kids to be with their parents mm-hmm. than not, under everything else being equal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure I agree with the first part of your answer.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
Well, if I had a perfect world where I could do whatever I wanted and could make things really fast, what I would want is to have a trial that was quick, but then also maybe have the creation of an appellate court just for that purpose so that we could get through the system really quickly. We don't have that right now. The appellate courts have to take us with all the other cases, and everyone does the best they can, but it just takes time. And, yes, everyone is suffering during that time. The foster parents are trying to...
It seems to me that the legislature made a policy choice here. And they said, we're not going to get into an individual case-by-case determination as to what the merits are. If it's not done by this date, it's a drop-dead date. If the trial court had heard all the evidence, said, I'll take it under advisement, hadn't signed the final order until 367 days, we wouldn't be here. There'd be no argument. It would go away regardless of the merits. And so the real question is the effect of the new trial order.
Yes, and the Baylor case indicates that the court could ungrant that new trial today. So obviously it's not void. That final order is not a void order. And so I don't see how we could treat it as such and say that it doesn't exist. And second of all, the statute itself does not say final disposition. Could have very easily said that within a year you have to get final disposition. It said you render a final order, and a rendition could be orally before the court reporter. And we also know that the legislature must know that when a court renders an order, there's judicial process thereafter where a court can re-decide its decision, modify its decision, do anything. I see that I've run out of time. If you have any other questions, I'll answer them in rebuttal.
Any further questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from the real party in interest.
May it please the court, Mr. York will present argument for the real party in interest.
Thank you, Your Honors, and thank you for letting the last case be the best one here. I take exception to a few things opposing counsel had to say. First, she went on about the individual facts being indecency with a child, but she didn't tell you that this is the case where you had a mother and a father a couple of years apart from each other that resulted in a pregnancy. Is one of those majority-minority age kind of things, and that's what happened. But that was years ago, and then it fast-forwarded to where CPS came in to the home after mother, after this incident was long gone. But that she didn't tell you that. What we have to turn here is on she focuses on, is this a final order? And it's not. Old Republic says that it's not a final order. As a matter of fact, we can wind it back, and if you get motion for new trials granted, it's granted as if the trial never occurred in the first place. If it's a final order, why are we here? If it's a final order, why is trial date set?
Is she correct that the new trial, after the new trial was granted, it was set in December, and then she suggested you all moved for continuance?
We agreed to the continuance.
Why is all of this not all of your complaints not barred by the invited error doctrine,
well,
as the Court of Appeals dissent suggested?
I understand that, Judge. However, it's not barred by that because it would require a lot of clairvoyance on the part of my client. And let's wind back to they said we didn't move to dismiss before the year occurred.
No, I'm not worried about the motion to dismiss. By the time you filed the motion for a new trial, the year was gone.
Yes.
And so if you got a new trial, there was no way that new trial could be held within 1 year of filing.
That is correct.
So didn't you ask for a trial that was after the one-year deadline?
Well, the trial court set a trial.
No. It would have you asked for a new trial.
That is correct.
And the divided error doctrine is, as a general rule, a litigant can't request a ruling from a court and then complain that the court committed error in giving it to him. Seems fair enough. And if you, after the year is gone, you ask for a new trial, you have to be asking for a trial after the one-year deadline.
Procedurally, that was the only vehicle that was available to the litigant. Procedurally, it had to be done that way. The problem is...
But the trial judge gave you what you wanted.
The trial judge granted a new trial.
That's what you're here complaining about.
I am here complaining that the statute bars the trial. And we have a problem, and that's why we're all here today, is that if a new trial is granted, and if Old Republic is correct, that is, it is as if a trial never existed in the first place, and now we're outside of that year statute. And under Hollick, it says that we strictly construe the statutes in favor of the parent.
Then, if you were about to go to trial before the end of the year, and then the parties filed an agreed continuance for a month, could you then file a motion to, when it's, so now in the 13th month, you're called to trial, could the defendant file a motion to dismiss then?
I believe there's a limit on extension waiver under 263.402.
So is that a yes or a no?
I believe it to be the case. The parties can, by the statute, waive that if all agree. But if they don't agree, you don't have that scenario.
So the continuance, the agreed continuances, would not be a violation of the statute?
No, because that was after when we complained.
Well, it was within 180 days. Can the parties agree to extend beyond 180 days?
They cannot.
So now let me rephrase my question. You've got an extension. You're at 179 days. You're called to trial. The parties agree to an extension. And you get an extension for a month. Now in the 19th month, can you move to dismiss even though you agreed to the continuance?
If the 180 days are about to run, Justice, is that what you're...
Right.
Referring to?
Right.
Then the parties and the court cannot agree. It's done.
Well, I'm just wondering what happens to the invited error doctrine. I mean, if you ask the judge to do something and it's wrong, then it's wrong. The whole idea of invited error doctrine is it was error, but you invited it. You asked the judge to do it. And we judges have a lot of things and don't always keep up on all the law. And if we miss something, but the parties asked us to do it, are you aware of any other area where you can ask the judge to do something and then complain on appeal that the judge did precisely what I asked him to do?
Under that doctrine, I think it butts up with the statute that is clear on its face, and it also butts up with Hollick that says you have to, we are handcuffed. We have to construe the parental termination statutes.
But invited error, I'm assuming it's always error. The judge should not have done it.
Sure.
And you're saying the judge should not have done it. And I agree. Judge should not have done it, and that was error, and somebody needs to say so. But if you asked them to do it, how can you then appeal from it?
Then you're putting a litigant, such as my client, in a scenario where she cannot utilize the statutes that was designed to protect her.
All right. And, counsel, and that's one of the complications in the statute. The same statute, 263.45B, says that the 15 days following signing of the final order, the party wishing to appeal files the points which, quote, may be combined with a motion for new trial, close quote. The same code provides that the motion for new trial may be granted and provides for expedited consideration no later than 30 days. Then it provides for an expedited appeal, and the motion for new trial does not extend appellate deadlines. So an absolute firm deadline, a year or a year and 6 months under 263.401, seems to be exactly what the legislature intended. But the legislature also, by specifically talking about motions for new trial, contemplated that they can be filed and granted. The problem, which amicus talks about at length, your opposing counsel talks about, and you seem to recognize, is what terrain, what procedures, what timetables are we in after a motion for new trial is granted, and what's the effect of the first final order? The statute doesn't give us, I would say, little or no guidance on any of that. So what's the timetable, in your opinion, if the year and then the 6 months thereafter upon certain findings in the initial proceeding don't apply post-final order, then what's our timetable? What's our procedures to follow in the land that we find ourselves in your case?
It's an interesting case of first impression, indeed. And I think the timetable, that if we have to look at the statute, we have to follow it and say, if it's done, it's done. The remedy is to dismiss, refile with an expedited trial. That takes care of it. There's your answer.
What happens to the children if the case has to be dismissed?
Sorry to interrupt, Justice. The same thing that would happen if we set a new timetable.
Well, but if you dismiss,
they'd go back to the parents.
No, they would file an emergency. They would absolutely file a motion to dismiss and then have an emergency hearing that same day. They do it every day. And so that remedy is available to them. If there's still an emergency that exists, or if there's still a reason to keep children in care, then if it's not there at the time that you have a motion to dismiss, it's probably not there at trial. So they can still have that remedy available to them.
If you dismiss and refile, do you have to come up with new grounds?
You do not.
You don't.
You do not.
So if you dismiss and refile, then you start the 1 year again?
You start the 1 year time clock again.
So that doesn't expedite us.
With an expedited trial setting. Remember, the 1 year is the deadline. It's not the trial date. They're saying you have to have a trial before the 1 year, right, or you can extend it 6 months after that. But the remedy is to dismiss it. And as you said, Justice, we're not here to determine the facts of each case. That's not what the legislature intended. The legislature intended for speedy trials, for security of these children. And if that is the intent, then we have to follow it in this direction.
I guess what I'm saying, let me make sure I understand. So you'd say that if I'm the trial court judge and I've tried the case and beyond the statutory deadline, I grant the motion for new trial, the better course is to dismiss the case then?
I believe by the written statutes now that we have in our possession, we have no choice.
Did the trial court ever make any findings that would be a basis for extending into the 180-day period?
They did not,
never,
Justice.
Did.
Can you have a new trial on the date of the dismissal, or are there due process implications that would have to be gone through?
No, sir. You can have the way the statutes are reading now, as long as they close the evidence by that time frame, then they're safe. So the answer to your question is, if the motion for new trial was granted and then there was some time extending, is that what I'm hearing?
Well, say that the department knows this is getting ready to happen. It's going to be dismissed. So they just say, okay, we're going to refile, serve your client in the courtrooms. You know, let's just go ahead and try it again right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But from what you're telling me, if you just dismiss then and they can refile, then you get another year and another possible 6 months.
The statute will set a deadline for a year from that time.
But that would be a huge loophole, wouldn't it, that you could just dismiss and do another year and another year and another year?
Well, and that's a concern, I believe, in one of your opinions in NRE TDFPS, is that it could be used as a tool for litigation. However, look at what we have here. a new trial was granted, and the trial was set off almost a year anyway. That's the reality. So it's the same.
If the 180-day period was triggered, why didn't you have to move for judgment before it ended?
Good question, sir. And here's why. The trial was commenced, concluded before the year's up. Nobody has a problem with that. There was no, you would have to be clairvoyant to know what was going to be in the future to go ahead and move for that dismissal.
Before the year.
Before the year.
I agree with that. But if the judgment that was rendered is not done away with by the new trial, if that's what we think, then why didn't you have to move for judgment within 180 days after the year?
Because the court never extended that 180 days. They have to extend the 180 days before the year's up, or else that 180 days is gone.
Well, where does it say that?
I believe case law is replete with that. Plus, it doesn't say anything to the contrary, Judge, with all due respect.
Right. Just doesn't say one way or the other. But if the trial judge says, okay, new trial, 180 days, try it within 180 days, set the trial in December, and seems to me then it was incumbent on you to set, to move for judgment within 180 days or waive it under 402.
Or file a motion to dismiss.
Right, which you didn't do.
Yes, sir.
Not until later. Not until after the 180 days.
Well, Judge, I believe that the 180, well, it's my understanding that they can't even grant you the 180 days if the year is up because you're outside of it. So it's a quandary. And there's a lot of untied ribbons here that the legislators
That's not in the
with.
Statute, but you think that's in the case.
Yes, sir.
And so the trial judge here, rather than grant the new trial, when you moved to dismiss, they could have just said, well, okay, I ungrant the new trial and everything would be fixed.
That's a remedy? Certainly.
You have any further, are there any further questions? Any further argument, counsel?
No, nothing further, Judge.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you for your time, Your Honors.
Thank you.
We'll hear rebuttal.
On the benefits of the judgment doctrine in Matlow, it talked about, it's long been the law in the state that you can't treat a matter as an end, sue for something and then and ask for something and then ask for something totally inconsistent based on that. And that's exactly what happens when you ask for a new trial and then suggest on that relief that that should give you the basis for error to get dismissal. So,
but the problem with that is the statute says the parties cannot extend the
deadline. They can't extend a date set by the court. That's what subpart A of 263402 says. We never had a date set by the court. All we had was the one-year deadline, which we met. The final order was rendered within 1 year. The statute does not say we have to get a final disposition. We got a final rendition. I think the legislature understood it was a rendition because it could have said within 1 year you get a final disposition. It did not. So with the rendition, the legislature obviously knew that a trial judge is going to then perform its duties in deciding whether that rendition was correct or not, or whether a new trial should be granted, and that's why 263405 was invoked. And in fact, the legislature wants them to decide whether a new trial should be granted to avoid the appeal, because subpart D of 263405 says they must conduct a hearing within 30 days to decide whether to grant a new trial. And it doesn't say it's even contingent on them filing a motion for a new trial. The legislature wants each of these cases to be decided quickly but also correctly. I don't think they intended
to cause a problem with the separation of powers doctrine and not allow the judicial body to do its job in coming up with correct, especially in such an important area, correct
counsel,
decisions.
Why would not your opposing counsel's proposal have gotten a quicker resolution? That is, dismiss the matter, refile, the department could get an order to continue to keep the kids if the department believed that was in the best interest mm-hmm. and the children were endangered,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd have had a trial within a year and you might be done.
Well, you can refile, according to the case law, you can refile if you have new facts. Now, say your facts, and I just read a recent case by the 14th where the facts involved the one of the parents killing one of the other children in the family. Well, that may be the only facts you have. And then that's the reason you're going forward with your termination. But some reason they are entitled to a new trial, maybe a procedural error or something else that entitles them to a new trial. But, in fact, your facts are still facts which make jeopardy for those children. Maybe it would not support filing a new suit, but you do still have those facts. So it's not always, if you're going to look at it
from... new facts to refile.
Even I'm sorry?
Say you have to have new facts.
That's what the case law says. I'm sorry.
Are you saying you have to have new facts as the department to refile?
Correct.
Termination, even if the prior dismissal was on a procedural ground?
Correct.
But your opposing counsel, I think, said no. But
did.
He'd be wrong on that.
He would be incorrect, at least from the case law. The statute itself doesn't say that you have to have new facts, but the cases that have interpreted said you obviously couldn't just file the same case without new facts because you were required to dismiss it. So that's what the case law says.
And
so
are those new facts as facts that occurred after the dismissal? According to the case law?
Well, the case law says that it has to be new facts after the initial removal.
After the removal.
Correct.
During the pendency of that 1 year or whatever time the case was pending. You simply can't file on the same facts that you filed on the first time.
Correct.
Is that case law based on the common law of res judicata?
It's just what they came up with out of fairness. And see, we want to be careful here, obviously, because we have some children that we want to protect. And so we felt that it was best in this case to go this round.
What do you make of the amicus brief?
Well, I think the amicus brief is correct in being in our favor. I think, though, that there is one suggestion, amicus brief, I disagree which is that you should just, maybe the court could come up with just another deadline when a new trial is granted. I don't think that this court should do that. I think the legislature should do that after this court issues an opinion talking about that. Because it's really, that's really legislating, and that's not what this court should be doing. I think that there is a gap also in the appeals that needs to be corrected, and I think the legislature needs to fix that. But, or maybe not, maybe it could be done through rules, but, we obviously know there's a problem with the speed. So there's different things that maybe can be done legislatively, maybe through court rules, but at present we don't have anything when a new trial is granted.
You're asked, post motion for new trial, you're asking us to figure out what the timetable should be in that scenario, right?
I'm sorry?
Post motion for new trial, you're asking us to figure out what the timetable should be, the deadlines.
I'm asking you to come up with new deadlines? No, I'm not asking you to come up with new deadlines. I think there are no deadlines in the statute. So at present, we just don't have anything there. All we have is if court grants a new trial, it has a new trial, and then it's subject to an accelerated appeal. That's what we have in the statutory
scheme. So you think post-motion for new trial in a situation like this case mm-hmm. that we're hearing today,
correct?
There's no deadlines for getting a trial completed?
No, there aren't.
And you don't think we should consider whether there should be one?
That would be legislating. Now, that would be the same thing as this court saying all courts of appeals have to issue their opinions within a year. you know, maybe that could be a rule, but it's not a rule right now, so I wouldn't impose that on a court of appeals retroactively. You know, it's that there are, you know, this you could have a new trial being remanded and required by an appellate court 4 years after the judgment. You know, so we obviously have a gap here, a problem. It is one that, you know, we're all very aware of that are in, you know, involved in procedure. Maybe the legislature doesn't think about procedure the same way we do.
Well, there's a session coming up. Maybe
yes,
they will think
so
about it.
Yes, and so if this court was able to issue an opinion that talked about this, it might give us something to talk about, and that would be appropriate. You have no further questions?
Thank you, counsel. The cause is submitted. That concludes the arguments for this morning, and the court, the marshal will now adjourn the court.